So welcome again to everyone who's on the call right now from the mountains of southeast Kentucky. We're here in a small town called Whitesburg, and it's finally raining here after far too long, and it feels pretty good, and it's good to hear it outside the window here. We've been battling forest fires here pretty bad for weeks and weeks, and this rain that we're getting is a sweet relief. You know, these fires are just one symptom, you know, just one piece of evidence of our need to make a just transition in our energy economy. Climate change is going to keep increasing the frequency at which major events like this drought that made our mountains a tinderbox, this is going to occur more and more frequently. And we know we need to make some major changes in all of our systems. But we know, and we really believe here at KFTC, and lots of folks do, that we need to do it in such a way that we think first about those communities that will be most affected by those changes. Tonight we're going to talk about how to make these changes, these transitions we're going through, that we must go through, just transitions. A change in the economies of our places that is good for all people. A change that creates meaningful jobs and economic opportunity where once there was poverty. That improves the health of the people and our water and land where once we suffered from pollution of the old economy. And for those workers who have, it needs to be a just transition for those workers who have sacrificed their health and those families whose family members have given their lives even for the old economy. We need to make sure they're taken care of and respected and nurtured. And we want to make sure that this transition is one that is owned by those on the ground, those most impacted by what is going on in this economy, that our people have a say in the decisions that will affect our futures. Not owned by those somewhere far away who take great amounts and give very little back. And so for this transition to be just, we know it must be a community-led transition. So we'll get back to this this idea in just a bit and get into a little bit more specifics. But I want to pause right now and take a second, again, to welcome everyone who has joined in the past couple minutes. We are talking, having this telephone town hall, and calling it that because we're going to be some interactivity to it. We're going to do some presentation here at the beginning, and then you all will be able to share ideas with each other, and then you'll get to share some commitments at the end of the call. So because we want to know who all is out there and want to make sure that our technology is working for later when we get into that part of it, we're going to try something out right now. So get your dialing fingers ready. We're going to do an easy poll here to figure out where folks are. So what we're going to do is ask a question and then ask you to use your telephone's keypad to respond with your answer. So I hope you're ready. Here we go. So if you're in Kentucky, press 1 on your telephone. If you're calling from outside Kentucky, but you're in the Eastern time zone, you press 2. If you're in the Central time zone, outside of Kentucky, but in the Central time zone, press 3. If you're in the Mountain time zone, press 4. And if you're Pacific or somewhere further west or somewhere else, press 5. So we're going to take a moment to let these answers come in and test this technology, and I'll repeat this again. So you know what those numbers are. So press 1 if you're calling from Kentucky. If you're calling from outside of Kentucky, but you're in the Eastern time zone, press 2. If you're in the Central time zone and outside of Kentucky, press 3. If you're in Mountain time, press 4. And if you're in Pacific or somewhere further west or outside of all of that, press 5. So we're going to look here. We've got some results, so we can let you know that 54% of the folks here are on the call are in calling from Kentucky, that we got 28% of the folks are calling from outside of Kentucky, but in the Eastern time zone. We've got 5% of folks outside of Kentucky in the Central time zone. We got one person and 1% so far of folks in the Mountain time and nobody in Pacific time or further west for that. And so this is good to know that works and to know where you all are coming from. And I hope that was easy for y'all to participate in. So let's get back to this idea of a just transition. This is a term that's been used to describe different approaches used by different organizations and movements over many years to address what happens when a major part of an economy, such as a large industry, changes and leaves communities, and especially workers, with a big hole to fill. This idea has evolved over time, and that the way that we approach it, and that many communities that are dealing with impacts of the extractive economy across the country are approaching it, is in a really holistic sense. It's not just about replacing jobs that are lost, but it's about repairing damage. It's about shifting our local economies to ones that are sustainable over the long term and that build local wealth. It's about improving and increasing our democracy. A just transition is one that is vision-oriented, that brings us all together around a vision of the future that is just, that builds the political will to make those changes that we all know needs to happen. So folks are working on these just transitions all over the country. I, you know, personally know folks in Detroit, where the auto industry has bottomed out, in Richmond, California, in the shadow of the huge Exxon oil refinery there, and the Gulf Coast in Alaska that are bearing the brunt of climate change right now, on the Navajo Nation, and even in Standing Rock. So here in Kentucky, we've known previous transitions, and the one that comes to mind most frequently is the transition of the tobacco industry and the rapid decrease in tobacco farming there. So now we're suffering the impacts of a decline in the coal industry. Here in eastern Kentucky, where coal has been mined for more than 100 years, the job losses in the industry, the jobs for miners and other workers in the industry, those job losses are dire and extreme. Changes in the global markets for coal and the proliferation of natural gas as an energy source used more and more by electric utilities has decreased the demand for coal from here. And all of this is even before there's even been any climate change regulations in effect. So we know we must build our new economy here, and we know it must be community-led. So we're going to move into talking about two small but important pieces of that transition that are pieces of policy. So we're going to talk and focus for a while now on the Reclaim Act and the Miners Protection Act. So after hearing from communities such as ours here in Kentucky and other places and hearing from labor, the White House proposed what they called the Power Plus Plan in February of 2015. I won't go into too much detail about what the Power Plus plan is. There's a whole website for that where you can find out more at powerplusplan.org. But two of the four planks of that plan are bills that have been introduced in Congress, and so that's where we're focusing tonight. I also want to take a second to a lot of the stuff that we'll mention and the notes from this call and even a recording of this call and resources such as the link to powerplusplan.org, we're going to share that out to everyone who has registered for the call, so you all will get all of that as well tomorrow morning. So the Reclaim Act, which, like I said, it's sort of a slice of what can help build a just transition, but it's an important one. It's a bill that was introduced in the U.S. House and would provide an immediate economic boost to communities struggling with the decline of the coal industry, such as ours and other coal mining communities, historic coal mining communities across the country. This bill would release $1 billion to create opportunities reclaiming abandoned mines. The bill was introduced in February 2016 by a bipartisan group of legislators in the House, and this was led by Congressman Hal Rogers. He's chair of the Appropriations Committee and a Republican here in representing Eastern Kentucky. And so Congressman Rogers introduced this bill after hearing from folks all across the region that it was needed. So between the time we learned about the Power Plus plan and in February when the bill was introduced, there were more than 27 resolutions passed across Appalachia, and about 18 of those were in Kentucky. So these are folks, I think it's more like 14. So these are folks working to get their city councils and their county governments and other small governmental bodies, working with them to introduce resolutions in support of the overall Power Plus plan, which include this proposal to release this $1 billion and funds from the Abandoned Mine Land Funds over 5 years in ways that reclaim and repair these old abandoned mines. These are mines before 1977, and there's a requirement that those projects lead to community and economic development. So there are communities all across the country that had mining going on, especially ramping up a strip mining before 1977, when the first strip mining laws were came into effect. And so this bill is intended for those mines that aren't covered by that surface mining law, where companies are now required to pay for reclamation. So a lot of those mines were abandoned. There's high walls, there's mudslides, there's blowouts. There's a lot of problems from these mines. So every year, states already get money from the Abandoned Mine Land Fund. And so this bill would be additional money released on top of that that is intended to go not just for fixing these immediate problems and disasters, but economic and community development on top of that. And so the Office of Surface Mining and Reclamation and Enforcement estimates that releasing this $1 billion over the next 5 years would create 4,600 jobs for equipment operators and other jobs necessary for mine reclamation. And these jobs represent a sizable short-term economic boost at the time when urgent action is necessary. These are using the skills for miners that are laid off, and we're hoping that these type of jobs can keep folks from having to move out of this region for finding work. Gives us a little bit of a cushion while we're continuing to build the rest of the economy. Some of the things that could happen on these mine sites are agriculture, recreation, tourism, renewable energy, retail, and beyond. So a couple other points is that this bill doesn't use a cent of taxpayer money. The $1 billion would come from the $2.5 billion Abandoned Mine Land Fund currently in Washington. And so this money would be dispersed, but it would just be dispersed later on. So it's just sort of a shot in the arm right now when communities really need it. And additionally, the Reclaim Act, it has no impact on the coal industry. It does not raise AML fees that the industry pays into or any other taxes. And it disperses existing funds to reclaim these old abandoned mines. So it doesn't have any impact on the reclamation of current mining. And so that's one important piece of legislation that we see as building this just transition we're talking about, and it was part of the Power Plus plan. Another part of the Power Plus plan proposal was to shore up the benefits, the health care benefits and retirement pension fund for United Mine Workers. And so the Miners Protection Act is a bill that's in the Senate, and it's moved through the Finance Committee over there in the Senate. It was introduced by West Virginia senators. And this would shore up those health care and pension plans that support more than 100,000 retired United Mine Workers of America and their families. So this fund that provides health benefits and pension to these miners is about to run out of money at the end of December for a few reasons, but due in large part to the bankruptcies of many of the largest coal companies in the country. So the Miners Protection Act would secure the health care of retirees whose benefits are under threat and their pensions that are under threat by the recent bankruptcies of companies like Patriot Coal, Walter Energy, Alpha Natural Resources. And it's also important to consider that these benefit and pension payments have a significant impact on the local rural economies as these dollars are spent and their effect multiplies in their communities. The combined annual payments of all the UMWA funds contributes more than $1.1 million to state and local economies, $1.1 billion, I'm sorry, $1.1 billion to state and local economies throughout the country. And so, we also, one final note is that this bill is complementary with the Reclaim Act. There's been some coverage of the Miners Protection Act, media coverage, and also just conversation in D.C. that suggests it would be funded by the same fund, the Abandoned Mine Land Fund, and that's only partially accurate. The Reclaim Act would be funded through the Abandoned Mine Land Fund's principal, the pot of money that's there and existing. So it would draw down only from that. And the Miners Protection Act would get part of its funding. It's got multiple funding streams, but it would get part of its funding from the interest on the Abandoned Mine Lands Fund, and only on that interest. So they're coming from two different parts of the money, two different pots of money, though they're both associated with the Abandoned Mine Lands. So just wanted to clear that up for folks, because it's been we've seen there's been some really good reporting on this, and that's been a little glitch that we've seen a lot. These two bills, the reason we're talking about this right now is that Congress is likely to go on recess when the continuing resolution for the budget either expires or passes at the end of next week, December 9th. And so we know it's a pretty big hill to climb, but there are still really good opportunities for putting pressure on especially Mitch McConnell in the Senate, who can be sort of the gatekeeper whether these bills go through or not. And so that's why we're having this call now, getting people ready, prepped to take action. It's pretty urgent. There's potential for this, real potential for it, but we need to push really hard on this right now. So particularly McConnell around the Miners Protection Act, and then all of Congress, including Senate Majority Leader McConnell, around the Reclaim Act. So we're going to move on and hear from a few folks who really care about their place and they care about just transition and this and these pieces of legislation that I was just telling you about. So first we're going to, I'll let folks introduce themselves, but first we'll hear from Katie Dollarhide.
Hi, everybody. I am Katie Dollarhide, and I thank you for being here today, because I think this is so important, and that's why I'm here at this table today. I was born and raised here in these East Kentucky mountains, and I love the Appalachian Mountains. I live on the same land that's been in my family for generations. I garden the same garden plot that my dad gardened and his dad gardened before him, and my hope is that my children after me will, or even with me and then after me, will want to garden that spot too. And I care about this place because of what it means to me, because, of course, I was born and raised here. But there's the people here, our neighbors, my neighbors, my loved ones, my family. It's so much more than just the Appalachian Mountains. It's what makes it up. And I care so much about this place, and it worries me because we're in such a distressed time. And we wake up here every day, and we do what we have to just keep our families fed and our communities going. And we don't mind hard work. Actually, we like hard work. We don't mind a good day's work for a good day's pay. And there's pride in knowing that you've done something and accomplished something, that you've done something today. I've worked, and it was hard, but I've done it, and I've done it for my family. And we have a lot of pride here. For better or for worse, we have a lot of pride here. And for the most part, I think it's for the better. But right now, we are having a rough time. We can't pull it together. Our folks can't seem to pull it together. And this region is just in, like I said, it's distressed, it's depressed. And we want to, we want our communities to feel like they are worthy of attention, of what this Reclaim Act could bring to it. And we want this, I feel that this could be a way to start constructing new dreams for this place. And we need it. We need it desperately. But we also need tools and resources enabled to make that happen. And this Reclaim Act is what I see as a start of building those tools and resources and making that happen. For one thing, it's using existing money that's sitting there not doing anything, and I've looked at it, and I've looked at all these things, and I've weighed it, and I've tried to find, I weigh it out in pros and cons, and I've tried to look for a con or a bad part of this, and I'm yet to find it. And so I don't see how it can... I don't see how we should even struggle about trying to push this on through. It's just that important. And we just need it. We need it now. And this Reclaim Act could be the thing that we get immediately. This money could be something we could have immediately to start doing work with. And it's in a place where people have worked for ages in the coal mines, and now the coal mines are shutting down, and people don't know what to do with themselves because we're a place, like I said, of hard workers and keeping our hands busy. But we need to put people back to work, and that's what this Reclaim Act is going to do. And not only is it going to put people back to work, these coal miners that are out of work, I see it as a way to create permanent, different economic opportunities in our region and in my place of where I live and my kids, where I want them to come back to live. And in order to do that, we have to, like I said, we have to have these resources. We have to have these tools. We have to plant these seeds. And if we plant these seeds of hope, then we will grow something that will be something that will be for the coal miners, the older coal miners, but it will also be for the youth in the future. Because these seeds are going to, in reclaiming these strip mines, these coal miners know how to do this, and they will love it. Getting their hands in that dirt, they're going to love it. And we're going to see that happen. And then as these mines get reclaimed, what an opportunity for youth and entrepreneurs to jump in and say, hey, how about solar farms up on a strip job? How about wind? How about let's try geo? Let's try whatever we can try. If it doesn't work, let's try something else. But we're looking, we're begging and we're digging for something that's going to help us pull out of this situation. And there's not anything in our bright future. Our future is not looking bright. But this Reclaim Act can bring us there. And Mitch McConnell, really, he is our spokesperson. I feel like he's my spokesperson. And as being my spokesperson, I'm asking him and I'm pushing him to get this through within this time frame. We don't need to wait any longer. We need it immediately and now. And we need to take and make this place where it's filled with hopes and dreams again. And we can do that, but we have to push for it now. We don't need to wait any longer. Thank you all.
Wow. I really wish I could hear responses of folks on the line. Thank you, Katie. We're going to hear from Carl Shoup. Just talk a couple minutes about the Miners Protection Act. He's calling from over in Harlan County. And Carl, can you tell us about why you care about the Miners Protection Act? And Carl, you might be on mute if you're trying to talk right now.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Carl Shoup, and I'd like to talk to you a few minutes about this Miners Protection Act. I hate the word "I," but we're fighting to make sure that miners don't lose their hard-earned pensions and benefits. And what's happened is the industry, it's been hit pretty hard, and a lot of the coal companies have been filing bankruptcies and getting out and under the contract that the union guys have signed with these companies and therefore trying to sneak off and get out of the way of paying a lot of benefits that they owe these coal miners. And, I give a little background of myself. I'm a third generation coal miner, and I've lived in these mountains for all my life. And my father, and his father before him, and there was probably some more, but I don't like to go back no farther than three generations. That's kind of dangerous. But anyway, now these coal miners, they back in the 40s and World Wars, the coal, it's won world wars for people, for the United States. It's has kept the lights on for thousands, millions of people for years. And you know, this is a raw deal that the coal miners are getting, I think. And for one reason, like I say, back in the 40s, there was back in Congress, there was a legislation signed that by John L. Lewis, who was the president of the United Mine Workers at that time, and the Congress of the United States, that if the coal miners would work and do good during the war and everything, that they would be taken care of for the rest of their life and their families, and would be provided insurance and pensions, and you know, they could, once they served and worked in them old coal mines and broke their backs and broke their minds or whatever, that you know, they'd be taken care of. But now here they come and you know, they just, the companies are trying to you know, leave us with holding the bag, as the old saying goes. But you know, Mitch McConnell here in Kentucky, he's a very, very influential man up there in Kentucky, in the Senate. He's been up there for 30 plus years, and you know, he's very, very prestigious positions, and he's very well now. He's got, with this president-elect and the Republican Party and everything, he's got even more power than he's had in the past. You know, we feel like that he's just been stalling and has allowed this bill to sit in Congress all year. And, you know, now there's only a few weeks left to pass it, this legislation. And you know, the action by McConnell right now, it's not just important, it's urgent. And there's still time to make sure miners here in Kentucky are protected, but you know, Congress must act now. And you know, think about these old guys, you know, these coal miners that's gone on before me and stuff. And you know, I've seen my father die with this old dreaded black lung disease. I've seen my grandfather die with it. And you know, to me, this is a small ask from the coal miners here that's left on this earth, that we could ask the Congress of the United States to supply some of these benefits and make sure that our widows and senior citizens, and of who, you know, most of them are low income people, and you know, make sure that they don't lose these benefits, and you know, it's the money and stuff that they get every month, and it's a very important piece of our, the bright future and stuff that we're talking about. And you know, guys, I could go on all night and tell about this and everything without, I don't want to get into a lot of details and everything, but you know, I just like to, for everyone to get on the horn or whatever, and we need to get McConnell and this Congress off their duffs and see if we can't get this legislation passed for our coal miners. Thank you very much for listening to me tonight.
Amen, Carl. Thank you. And we'd love to sit here and keep listening to everybody a lot more, but we want to get to the point in the call where folks on the line are able to talk and share and get as enthusiastic as folks we've been hearing from. So Katie told us about why she cares about the Reclaim Act, and Carl about the Miners Protection Act, these two parts of it. And we've mentioned this before, but we know that this is just part of a larger transition, and that we're building these in our communities, and this needs to be a community-led transition. So it's great to sort of getting numbers here that there are, we've doubled the number of folks that are on the call since the beginning right now, and folks are hanging on and listening to these stories. So we're going to have one more, and then we're going to break out into some small groups where y'all can share with each other. So next we're going to hear from Daryl Royce, who's here in Whitesburg.
Hello, I'm Daryl Royce. I live in Whitesburg, Kentucky, but I'm originally from a small town in northeastern Kentucky called Flemingsburg. It's a town very similar to Whitesburg, but it has a small farming community rather than a community based upon mining. I went to Georgetown College and then spent my professional career in Lexington, Kentucky, working in corporate America in the accounting and finance fields. A couple of years ago, my partner and I decided we wanted to move away from the city and enjoy a slower pace of life in a more rural setting. We decided to move to Whitesburg as he was originally from the area and we had family and a support system here. It was also an area that needed economic development, a beautiful place that desperately needed new businesses. So we opened Heritage Kitchen, a restaurant focused on providing affordable and good quality food, sourcing locally when possible. We also decided to move here because we love Whitesburg and Letcher County. It's a beautiful area, small, quaint, where people are friendly and care for one another. Whitesburg reminds me of my own hometown, full of good people holding true to the values and traditions passed down to them for generations. There's a sense of true pioneerism here, a feeling that you can make your own destiny through hard work and dedication. Like my hometown, which was ravaged by the loss of the tobacco industry, there's a huge sense of loss in this community, a loss of value, worth, and importance. Coal provided for the people of Whitesburg, Letcher County, and this region for many years, and now much of that industry is gone. We're at a crossroads of finding a new path for this area. The Reclaim Act will help this area start that process. The community is beginning to pull together in new ways, learning what the future may hold. Locally, there's a renewed effort in farming. There's a strong, yet growing farmers market here, with locally produced products going straight from the field to a family's dinner table or on the menu at local restaurants like mine. Also like my hometown, which had to find many new outlets for industry and new crops for our farms, Whitesburg and Letcher County will have to come together and find new paths for the reclaimed land here. This must be and is a community-led project. Locally and even regionally, there were resolutions passed in support of the Reclaim Act. Community leaders, business people, civic organizations, and citizens all came together to express their concerns for the future in support of Reclaim, with it being a just transition to the future. There are at least 62 abandoned mines right here in Letcher County. Reclaim funds could be used to create local jobs and business opportunities by addressing the risks to health, safety, and future economic development that these abandoned sites in our county pose. This transition to a new economy should be one that celebrates our culture, invests in communities, creates good, stable, and meaningful jobs, is just and equitable, and protects and restores our land and water. Finally, after making our home here, I felt the need and urgency of civic involvement. This fall, I ran for city council in Whitesburg on a platform of progressive ideas and economic development. Although unsuccessful, my campaign slogan still sticks in my mind: working together, we can build a better future. Similarly, this is our opportunity to chart our own course, much like our families did years ago when they first moved here, a course that will provide new opportunities and, most importantly, hope and direction for a viable future, one that revives that sense of worth and importance for our people. Thank you.
Thank you, Daryl. This is, I feel very privileged to be sitting here right in between passing the phone between Katie and Daryl. And I also want to mention there's one other person that's helping out here in the room, Eric Dixon. He's with the Appalachian Citizens Law Center. And this has been a stone soup effort on this work around the Reclaim Act and the Power Plus with allies and folks all across, starting in the Central Appalachian region, and now there's a folks nationally coming together to talk about this strategy. And then people who've registered for this call and signed the petition in support of all this are from all across the country. We have right here in Kentucky about 1,500 people who've signed a petition in support, and 8,000 across the country. So there's real momentum right now for this work. And as you've heard a couple times, it's both important and urgent. And coming out of this momentum, we can do something momentous. in the next week and a half. But we really have to sort of dig in and buckle down and do some things that we might not have ever done before, like test those new muscles like we're doing with this call right now. We haven't actually ever done a call like this before. So what we're going to do is break out in small groups here in just a second. It's one of the new things we're going to do. But before we do that, I want to let you all know what we're going to come back to out of that. So at the very, we're going to conclude the call by giving folks an opportunity to do one of these polling again, to let us know what you might be able to do over the next week and a half to help push this thing through. So we're going to offer the opportunity for folks to let us know if you can call in the Congress, if you can write a letter to the editor, if you can donate or join to help support this work. So we're going to come back to that. But first, we're going to break out into some small groups. So if you've never been on a conference call like this before, it's pretty cool. I was on one, and it's really cool just to get in a small group. You'll be it's almost like you're at a conference, and you're going over into another small room to talk with people. You're going to be in small groups of 4 to 6 people. There'll be about 10, maybe more, groups of folks having conversation with each other. So this is the part to be able to have a conversation. Some of us that you've heard from and other folks who have been working on this work will be scattered throughout those groups, but not every group will have a facilitator or a person in there at all. So somebody among you in your small group is just going to have to jump in and say the first word. So what we're asking is everyone to start, just say your name, where you're calling from, and then just take, everybody has like 1 to 1.5 minutes to share the answer to this question. It's a long question, and I'll just when I finish, I'll repeat the short version. But so in your community, so this is the question, your name, where you're calling from, and then in your community, what does a future economy look like that is good for all people, that creates meaningful work and opportunities for everyone, that builds local wealth and protects the health of workers and families, and so on? So whether you're calling from a prosperous place or one struggling with an extractive economy, what does a bright future look like where you are? So in other words, the short version of what you're going to answer is, what does a just transition look like in your community, on the ground or in your imagination? What does a just transition look like? So if you can have that, just have that conversation with each other, relate, connect, and learn from each other. And then you can also, if you want, you can talk a little bit about it. There's time at the end. What you think that you might do to help push this work towards a just transition through in the next week and a half. So your name, where you're calling from, what does a just transition look like to you? And then if you have time, you can talk a little bit about what actions you're thinking about taking in the next week and a half. So what's going to happen is shortly you're going to hear a tone, and then you're just going to be magically in these small groups where you can only hear the 4 to 6 other people in your group. You have this conversation. When it gets, there will be 12 minutes for this. So when you get to the end, you'll hear my voice again, and then we'll bring you back into this this larger conversation that we've been having. So I guess we're ready to do this. So we'll hear this tone and start talking. Have fun.
You are now in a breakout. Please begin.
And try to get off and get back to our evenings by the top of the hour. I know there were some great conversations that were going on in those small groups, and we don't really have a way to capture them on this call. We could be here for 2 or 3 hours if we did that. So tomorrow you're going to get an email from me that's going to include information about how to take action on these action items that we're getting ready to talk about here. So it's going to come from me individually. So if you want, I would love it if you were having great conversations, if it was something you shared or something you heard from somebody else. If you're so moved, you can just hit reply on that and email me back some of those good ideas that you heard in the small groups so we capture some of those. That would be really great. So what we're going to do, we're going to end this call by asking you all to do a poll again around 3 different items. So like we've said, for both of these bills, we have till the end of next week to move our legislators and to bring other folks and other people we know and care about who care about these issues into the action to put pressure on especially Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell for both the Reclaim Act and the Miners Protection Act, but also folks that have other senators. Those senators need pressure as well. So that's what we're going to be doing in the next a few days. We're also going to deliver all these petition signatures to Mitch McConnell next week to really make the point that this needs to go through. So tomorrow and Friday, we're going to have a call-in day. It's going to be real easy. You'll get an 800 number. You'll pick up the phone, and it'll connect you with the message that you instructions that you can leave for your congressman's office around the Reclaim Act. And then we'll likely have a call-in day for the Minors Protection Act next week. So we want to focus each of the bills each day. So that's one option of action we're going to take. It also would be really great to get folks writing letters to the editors, like a really big push in local papers, particularly if you're in Kentucky, but everywhere it'll help. Like open letters to your Congress person about these Reclaim or Minors Protection Act. And then finally, you know, this work takes resources to be able to keep it going and to do all of this that we've done here to build this momentum. And so we'll give you the opportunity to also make a commitment to donating to the work. So those are the three things that I'm going to ask you to do. And we're going to take them one at a time so folks have enough time to press your buttons like you did if you were at the beginning of the call. So if you can commit, if you will commit to making a call tomorrow or Friday about the Reclaim Act or sometime next week about the Minors Protection Act, press 1 on your phone. You will receive an email from me tomorrow as early as we can with the notes from this call, I think with a recording, and with these three action items again listed, so you'll get the information for how to call in. But earliest tomorrow, you'll get the 800 number, this real simple process for making a call during this call-in day. So if you're able to do that, you know, it takes, I practiced it today, it takes about 4 minutes or something like that to make the call. You'll get an 800 number, or you can do it via text. You'll get a little bit of instruction from me about what you might say, and it'll connect you. It's super easy. So if you can commit to making a call during the call-in day tomorrow, can you press 1? So if you're on your cell phone, you got, you know, up to your ear, you're on a landline, you got to find that touchpad and press 1 on it. Something I just read today is that these calls are what work. So you know, part of this call that we're doing right now is like to help move folks from collectivism to real sort of organized power and action. And so we've all sort of signed something. We've signed up to be on this call or signed the petition. And so this is an opportunity to do something pretty simple. Maybe it's something you haven't done before, but taking that next step up in a pretty easy way. And we know that calls work. Folks in congressional offices say when they get stuff, people calling in, real folks ringing those phones off the hook, they really work. And so right now, just to report back to y'all, if we have 69% of the callers on the line have committed to making calls in the next couple of days, and you'll receive information on how to do that. So we're going to do this one more time with another question, and then we'll wrap up with a final one at the end. And we just hit 70 right before we move on. So the next thing is also to really make this more public. You know, we can put pressure on McConnell, we can have calls like this, but we need to get it out in our communities, and we need to see our Congress people seeing that it's in the press, and that they need to see that other people are seeing this. So one way to do that is write a letter to the editor. So will you write a letter to the editor? And if so, press 2. So what we're going to do is in the email that we get out to you, if you press 2, we'll get you information with some talking points, maybe even some sample, a sample letter to work on, and some tips on writing and sending in your letter. So if you can write a letter to the editor using talking points that we're sending, information for you to send that in to the local press, press 2. We see that we're climbing up here on the number of folks that are committing for this. And so this is something that you can do tomorrow or Friday, and you can, you know, especially like you'll get this email and take the weekend to do it and send it in on Monday. And what it can really do is help amplify what Katie's going to do on Monday, go deliver these petitions So if she's there, and you know, we just know, you can sort of say that a lot of folks are taking action around this, just really amplify. So if you can write that letter to the editor sometime between now and Monday, take, you know, a few minutes of the weekend press too. So this will be, just as a final reminder, this will be something that we'll make sure that you have materials to be able to do, resources to be able to do. We'll get you prepared for that. So if you can write that letter to the editor over the next few days, press two. So just waiting here. The final numbers we've got, so a third of the folks on the call are able to do that and are going to do that, so that's really great. And we'll follow up with you about that. And so the final thing we want to ask on this call, like I said, it takes resources to be able to do all of this work, to pull together things like this, to get those 1,500 and 8,000 signatures, you know, the time that it takes to ask our friends, to do emails, to do Facebook posts, to spread around. That, you know, that takes resources and time from people's lives to do that. And KFTC has been working on this and Just Transition for the past few years. So I want to take this final question to see if you would make a donation to Kentuckians for the Commonwealth to continue to help support this work around Just Transition, to help us continue to press on this, these particular bills, and then keep building power to do more. So press 3 if you think that you and you want to and you can donate to Kentuckians for the Commonwealth over the next few days. Again, we'll send you, if you press 3 that say that you want to do this, we'll send you information that'll make it really easy for you to do that. Even if you want to do it right now while you're on the phone or, you know, on the computer, you can go to kftc.org/donate. So you can do it right now, and then your 3 that you pressed will already have come true. So if you can take a little bit, you know, I've seen from my Facebook feed today, or I guess it was yesterday, was Giving Tuesday. I've lost track of the days. So lots of folks making asks, doing, making donations, particularly in this political climate. So if you can join that, sort of join that momentum of folks who are really donating to lots of causes, including doing this Just Transition work, press 3. We'll take just another moment to see if we get some more folks to respond here. Right now we have a quarter of folks on the call have said that they're going to donate, and that is super, super appreciated. It'll help me keep being able to do things like this, keep working on it, and lots of other folks through Kentuckians for the Commonwealth, including the support that we're able to bring to our grassroots members all across the state. So, so 25% have said that they donate by pressing 3, and you can really bring support to all of this work. So we'll take 10 more seconds, and then we'll do our final wrap up. Okay, while we're waiting for those final numbers to get back in, I'll let you know what that was. Just wanted to go ahead and just thank everybody for getting on this call. We had 64 people, I think, maybe a little bit more at the height of the call. And that's really exciting to know that many people take an hour on their Wednesday evening to call in, and we're able to really listen to some great stories, hear some information. We'll get you the email. Everybody who registered will get an email tomorrow about this, and just much, much gratitude and thanks. And what we're going to do to end the call is we're going to take everybody off of mute, so all the dozens of folks that are left on the call, so we can finally just hear each other and just say goodbye and good wishes and farewell to each other, and then we're going to hang up the call. So everybody's about ready to go off mute. So when that happens, say just say your good wishes, say goodbye. Let's all say goodbye to each other.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Great work.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Good luck with Gappers.
Thank you.
I made my donation already.